Our first reading today comes from the book of Sirach in the Old Testament. It's a book that's full of homespun wisdom and practical advice. In the past, in centuries past, it was one of the most popular books of the Bible. People read it all the time. Now, I don't think it's been read as much recently, but I do encourage all of us to dig into it and learn or relearn some of the simple truths that we all do well to live by. The reading today speaks of humility, not biting off more than we can chew, not getting too big for our britches, so to speak. The first line is how humility benefits us in our human relationships, and the second line, how it benefits us in our relationship with God. Conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. I remember spending a summer as a seminarian in little rural Marceline, Missouri, up in the north. And as a seminarian, I wanted to be a great scholar. I wanted to read big books and have deep conversations. And I didn't expect any of that in Marceline. And then one evening, I was talking with a local mail carrier who was a Catholic. And suddenly, he says, "Yesterday, I was working to memorize some of Shakespeare's sonnets, and then he lets loose with some beautiful lines of poetry from Shakespeare, and I was like..." I remember doing everything that I could to pick my jaw up off the floor. I had a big book of Shakespeare on my shelf, which I had never opened, and I still have never opened it. And he was so humble about it. It made me love him and trust him. You know, the loud, boisterous person in the room may get a lot of attention, but when that quieter, humbler person speaks up, people listen. When we encounter a truly humble person, it's refreshing. It helps us to lower our guard, to be more trusting, more loving. Helps us to be more open to what they have to say. Draws us in. In the second line of Sirach, we hear about humility and God. Humble yourself, the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. God is both the greatest and the humblest. In his letter to the Philippians, St. Paul says that the Son of God, who is the wisdom of God and creator of all things, emptied himself to become a creature, and more so, even to let his creation abuse and maltreat him to the point of suffering and dying on the cross. God knows what it means to be humble. He embraced humility for himself, and he loves humility in his people. I want to emphasize one other line from Sirach at the end of our reading. Water quenches a flaming fire, and alms atone for sins. Giving alms atones for sin because sin is always about me, putting myself at the center, what I want to do, regardless of what God or the church or other people are in need of or desire. But sincere almsgiving is about others. When I'm struggling with sin, with putting me at the center, Sirach recommends that I get myself focused on others, including the other, God. The first part of that last line seems very straightforward. Water quenches a flaming fire. Okay. But in a spiritual sense, the flaming fire represents sin. Our disordered passions. And so water refers to the water of our baptism, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. Pour the Holy Spirit on your disordered passions. Be amazed at what he does. Our second reading from Hebrews says, don't just approach earthly things, things that, quote, can be touched. Approach rather he says, the city of the living God. Approach the holy angels. Approach the saints. Approach Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father. In other words, don't fight your spiritual battles alone. Fight them with the angels and the saints, the church, and with Christ Himself. We're never alone. We don't need to fight alone or walk alone. In the gospel, I think it's so funny. We're told that, you know, Jesus goes to the house. It's a Sabbath day. It's a big day. He goes not to just to the house of a Pharisee, but to the house of a leading Pharisee, so a really important house. And we're told that all the people gathering at the home were watching Jesus closely. And the next line says, and Jesus was watching them. They're watching him and he's watching them. And I think it's a comfort for us to be reminded that Jesus sees us. He notices us. In the gospel, he sees the people not being humble. They're jockeying for seats of honor around the dinner table. And he speaks up much like Sirach and gives them and us practical wisdom on the goodness of humility. But remember, the gospel says he's telling a parable. In other words, it's not just practical wisdom in a story about an ordinary dinner party. It's about much more. It's also about the Eucharistic meal when we gather here as church. And ultimately, it's about the heavenly banquet where the Lord Himself is the host. In this Eucharist, do we seek to serve our brothers and sisters, or are we just here for ourselves? Do we seek to pray for them, those around us, to be healed and blessed and strengthened in faith and virtue? To pray for them to be healed and blessed. What a beautiful thing to come here knowing that we're not all just simply here, each person praying for himself or herself, but all praying for each other. The brothers and sisters all around you are in need of your prayers. And when the Lord, who sees you praying for others, then as Sirach tells us, you find favor with God. In the second half of the gospel, Jesus tells the host of the party not to invite only his friends, but also the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. That's all of us. All of us are spiritually poor, spiritually crippled, spiritually lame, and spiritually blind. All of us are in need of the intercessory power of the prayers of this assembly and the healing power of the bread of life in this Eucharist. In other words, the command of Jesus to invite the poor applies to all of us. Invite others to this Eucharist, your friends, relatives, wealthy neighbors, but others who are in need of the prayers and healing that Christ and His church can give us. If we truly humble ourselves, we'll begin to see ourselves and others in our spiritual poverty and lameness and blindness. We'll begin to see how we all are in need of the invitation to this banquet where Christ Himself is the hidden host and the divine physician. So here's the homework for the week. Pray for humility this week. And look for examples of humility in others. That's an inspiration. That's a way to learn to love and to trust. And invite the poor, invite the crippled and the blind and the lame to join you in this Eucharistic banquet.